Welcome to the Nova Nation podcast. This is your host, Rob Logan. On this episode, my good friend and co-host Chris Merle and I talk about the unfortunate setbacks at the end of the regular season, give updates on the past couple games, and talk Big East tournament. All that right here at the Nova Nation podcast. Listen up. Go Nova. All right, Nova Nation. We're going to talk a little bit first about the women's team, give you a quick update. They started the Big East tournament. They had a win against DePaul to advance to the semifinals against probably the number one team in the nation, the UConn Huskies. And they got beat by UConn. UConn is an incredible team. Like I said, ranked number one. Don't know what's going to happen with the women's team. March Madness, they were kind of on the cusp. They needed a couple wins in the tournament to maybe get some wins on their resume to look better for March Madness. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if they get in. But a couple of honors on that team. First team Big East was Maddie Segrist. She was first team Big East, and second team Big East was Brianna Hurley, who she's a senior, could have played her last game. We don't know, but Maddie Segrist is also up for a couple of national awards as well. So we'll see what happens with them, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that they get a berth in the tournament for March Madness. On the men's side, they just finished up their season. We had a little bit of a disappointing loss to Providence, but some honors as well. We'll talk first team Big East was Colin Gillespie and Jeremiah Earl Robinson. Honorable mention was Jermaine Samuels also. And both Colin and Jeremiah have been named to the Wooden ballot for the top 15 players, so they could possibly win some national awards as well. They're getting ready for the Big East tournament, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes. Right now, currently, they are the number one seed in the Big East tournament, and in the AP poll, we did slip down to 14th at this time, but a couple of wins in this Big East tournament, we can go right back up. So I got my best friend, Chris Merle, with me to talk a little bit about what's going on. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, hi, Rob.
Hey, so I guess the biggest thing to talk about before we get into the Big East tournament is the unfortunate happenings of, I guess, the past week. First, Colin Gillespie going down to a major knee injury, well, major enough to keep him out for the rest of the season, a torn MCL for Colin. And then in the Providence game, about 12 minutes into that game, Justin Moore, who was basically filling in for Colin at the point, rolled his ankle pretty badly. It looked bad on TV when he did it. Severe ankle sprain is the diagnosis for him, and it looks like he is out at least for the Big East tournament. Maybe more. We'll see. Hopefully, it's only the Big East tournament. So, Chris, your thoughts? There's a lot to process, but what do you think? What do you think is going through everybody's minds, and can we put everybody's can we make everybody feel a little bit better though with what we have right now as a team?
Yeah, when the Gillespie injury happened, it was such, you know, so tough. It was you just felt for the kid and the team, and you could kind of see the severity of it when it happened. And after the game, when they interviewed Jay Wright, he just seemed like he was shell-shocked. So you had a pretty good inkling that it was going to be bad. So then you move on without him to the Providence game, and it started out a little slow. It seemed like they were walking in quicksand a little bit in that first half, and then Justin Moore goes down, and you're just thinking, oh no, you're just thinking the worst. Now, at one point in that game, they were really down, and I do give them credit. They fought hard and they came back, and I like some of the things I saw in the second half, but unfortunately, it was a little too late. So now, with the news about Moore probably not going to play in the Big East tournament, hopefully he'll play in the NCAA tournament. So that is a silver lining. So hopefully they can rebound, and I'd like to see them how they line up and what style they'll play without these two guys that are so key to what they do.
Right. Well, let's talk for right before we get into the Big East a little bit tournament. Let's just talk a little bit. I have some numbers on this Providence Villanova game. Obviously, Chris Archie Diacono had to get pressed into some time. He played 25 minutes and led the team in assists for that game. However, the team as a whole only had 8 assists. So
Right.
that number stood out to me. Also, their field goal percentage for the game was only 33%. So they didn't shoot good. And also, Brian Antoine, Brandon Slater got some extended minutes. I think Brandon definitely brings some life to the team. However, down the stretch, he missed a bunch of free throws. Only went 1 for 5 from the line, and I think two of those free throws were what, probably under a minute, that would have helped put a little bit more pressure on Providence, and he missed both. So that's something that needs to be cleaned up, but can easily be fixed. And then Brian Antoine, he played 22 minutes, which was by far his most of the year. Only putting up 3 shots though, so I think he needs to be more involved, and he needs to be a little bit more aggressive, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the 3-point shooting in the Providence game, and without Gillespie and Moore, they're your two best 3-point shooters.
Correct.
So, again, I think you're going to have to see maybe a different style of play in the Big East tournament game, and hopefully they win more than the first game, so games. I wonder if they'll play a little more of an inside game, depending on the matchup. Without the two shooters on the team. And I mean, Robinson Earl and Samuels and Cole Swider obviously all can shoot. But Moore and Gillespie can actually take someone off the dribble. So it's a little different. Those other guys aren't those types of shooters.
Right.
So we'll see.
Well, you mentioned about, the Big East tournament. So their first game will be on at noon, and they are waiting, and that's on the March 11th, Thursday, March 11th at noon. They are awaiting the winner of the Marquette Georgetown game. Now, you had just mentioned that they might have to go and play a little bit more, underneath, try to be, banging around a little bit more. But if they have to play Georgetown, that matchup does not really go with Georgetown's bigs, if you want my
No,
opinion.
that would be a bad matchup, and that's a game you would miss a guy like Cosby Roundtree. Without him, you don't really have a interior force, a rim protector, and a guy that's going to bang. I think we thought Dixon was going to be that guy, But he hasn't been getting a lot of minutes lately.
7 minutes last game.
Yeah, so I don't know if we're going to see more of him in the next few games, which I would be curious because that's his style. So that might be – if Georgetown was the team to advance, if it was Marquette, I think Nova matches up much better against Marquette. And remember, the last time they played them, they destroyed them.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the better matchup of the two. Yeah. Georgetown's bigs, they do scare me with what, you know, we have right now. I said this to you, I believe, during one of the two games. It might have been the Providence game. If Georgetown wins, I think they need to play a quicker pace than what they normally do. I mean, usually they like to, you know, slow down the offense, you know, kind of milk the clock. But against a Georgetown team, I think they need to let, you know, these guys like Slater and Antoine and even Daniels and Samuels, I think they need to get them out and running and down the court and let them take it to the rim, get fouled, and make their shots.
Yeah, I could see that. And that's definitely Brian Antoine and Slater give you a lot more energy. So if – I don't know if Wright would put Slater in the starting lineup, though.
Well, I'm sorry. That's actually a good question. What do you feel for that first game on the 11th? What do you think is going to be the starting five?
I think with a week of practice, you'll have Archie Diacono, point guard. I think you'll have Robinson Earl. Probably Samuels and Swider. And the other guard position will probably be Daniels.
Right.
That's just a guess. I don't think he'd start Brian Antoine, and I don't think he's going to start Slater.
Well, I mentioned this to you before. I definitely think Slater is this year's spark off the bench.
Right. Last year it was Cosby Roundtree.
Right, and I think Slater brings the defense, the, you know, intangibles to change the game a little bit when he comes in. Now, Antoine could do that as well, and I think that's what they were trying to do the start of the Providence game with, you know, Moore starting out as the point guard and then having Antoine and Slater come off the bench. I think that's what they were trying to do, was to create that spark. And if you want my opinion, the only way that they can create more of an impact is to let Antoine try to get to the hole and try to get to the rim. Him shooting outside and just trying to shoot threes or whatever, that's not really his game. Yeah, his game is creating and going to the hoop. So I haven't seen him really go to the hoop yet. Maybe once that game, I think. But I think that needs to be his strength. And maybe if he is able to get into the lane, that'll open up some shots for some of these guys to shoot threes, kind of like, you know, I don't want to say exactly like Colin did, because Colin was definitely one of the best at doing that and, you know, jump stop and turn and kick it out. But, you know, somebody like Antoine, if he gets in there, the defense is going to collapse on him, especially in that Georgetown game. Those bigs are going to collapse. You know, that could be their way to score and get some good looks at the three-point line, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking maybe Cole Swider will play a little bit more of a role, because that's his game, is a spot up 3-point shooter, so he might get some looks.
I'm worried with him, just on the defensive end. I think he only played 15 minutes in that game against Providence, and I think a big reason why he didn't play that much was because of the matchups on the defensive end was causing him to not be able to be in the game, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
So,
I'm sure they see that on tape. We're watching on TV, and we can see that. So, yeah,
right.
we've talked a lot about the struggles there. Again, it's gonna be real curious to see how they come out and play. If they play their normal game, their style of play, then you're going to need guards that can handle the ball, drive, kick out, and shoot off the dribble. And I haven't seen enough of Archie Diacono to know that. I don't even know a scouting report on the kid, to be honest with you. So can he shoot? Can he take people off the dribble? Is he going to be just a pure point guard and distribute the ball? You talked about Brian Antoine before. That's really not his game. He's a slasher. He wasn't a guard in high school. So this is kind of a new thing for him. He's learning on the job. So it's going to be interesting to see that game, and it could be dependent on who they play. So
Right. And the thing with Chris, Chris, I think he's going to be more of the point guard. Now, the thing is he's going to get his looks. Because, he's not gonna, have as much attention as a Moore or Colin out there. So he's gonna get some open threes. He had a couple of open threes that he did not make in that Providence game. That if one or two of those go down, then that's almost into the game right there. So he's gonna have to be prepared, and he's definitely gonna have to. At some point, he's going to have to shoot it. So I hopefully he's prepared to do that, and not just be a facilitator, but he's going to have some kind of shot going in. Now, let's just take a look real quick. So on the first round of the Big East tournament is March 10th, and the three games that day is Georgetown and Marquette, Xavier and Butler, and Providence and DePaul. Those are your games. Then your following day, you have Villanova waiting the winner of the Georgetown Marquette, as we St. John's and Seton Hall, which is actually a pretty good game. And if we did win, we would be playing one of those two teams, which I would think would be a really good game.
Yes.
Creighton is awaiting the Xavier Butler game winner, and UConn is waiting the Providence DePaul game. Now, UConn has won its last four games, so they're getting kind of hot at the right time. So I like them moving forward. I like them beating Creighton or whoever is in that game. I think Creighton has some problems with their coach now.
Yeah.
They
That's a
actually
whole
they
that's a topic for a whole nother pod.
yeah and that and know what is really just real quick, it's funny, they suspended them for one game, which was the last game of season, which was completely meaningless and had nothing, and then quickly reinstates them before the Big East tournament. I mean, it was just that was just bull. If you want to ask me, but I don't see them getting past UConn. So if we are able to advance and win two games, I think it's going to be Villanova and UConn in the finals on the 13th. What do you think?
Well, first, I think the matchups on Villanova's side of the bracket favor them other than Georgetown. Right? At that other side, Butler and Xavier and Creighton have all given Nova trouble.
Yep.
The only boy, I don't want to read too much into that St. John's game because that was the game where they had so many turnovers, and they shot so poorly. St. John's could be difficult in that second game. Yeah, they're tough. I like the way they play. I still think even without Moore and Gillespie, Villanova is more talented. But I think if St. John's were to get past Seton Hall, and I think they will, I haven't liked what I've seen from Seton Hall lately.
No.
I think St. John's will win that game, and they're tough. I mean, they play very physical. They play fast. They're not afraid to shoot. They got some guys that can hit some shots. That's not a gimme by any stretch. The X factor in that game for me would be Robinson Earl because he'd be the best player on the floor. So if they were to get past that game and were to play UConn, I like Villanova in that matchup other than the best player on the floor in that game would probably be Book Knight. So, and without Justin Moore and Gillespie in that game. So, to make it that far would be an accomplishment, really, to win two games in the Big East tournament, in my opinion.
That's what I think too. I think winning two games, getting to the finals would be a huge accomplishment, and I think that would be a good like stepping stone to get them into the tournament. Because right now, if you look at, the bracketology or whatever you want to call it, Joe Lunardi has them as a 3 seed. Andy Katz has them as a 3 seed. Both of them have them in region two, who the number one seed in that region is Baylor. That region is not too. I think there's a couple of wins that could be had there if things play out there. But I don't like that far in advance because who knows what's going to happen with these seedings. There's always somebody who you're always scratching your head with and going, huh, they're not really that seed or whatever. So I don't really want to talk about that. That'll be something we could talk about later on down the road. But definitely two wins in the Big East tournament, I think, solidifies them as the 3 seed, and I think is a good thing to get them going. And then obviously, hopefully, getting Justin Moore back for, that March Madness run. Because, he could be a difference maker just on how he plays. He does kind of have that Colin guard mentality where, he does like to, back it down and play with his back to the basket. So, that could be something that, as long as they get to that point, who knows from that point, That's what we got to look at as
Yeah,
positive,
absolutely, and it would all depend on the matchup. And like you said, it's way too early to kind of predict where they would end up. And even if they were to be a three in the NCAA or a four seed, so it's all speculation at this point. And you just hope that they would get Justin Moore back in the lineup by that point.
Do you think the Colin Gillespie injury, obviously his game and not playing physically is something that is a huge blow to the team. But how important from a leadership and locker room presence, how much do you think that's hurting the team right now? And who do you think could step up and be that locker room presence and leadership role and fill that role for the team?
I don't think it's. Look, I think he's around from what I understand. So he'll be on the bench. He'll be at practice. He'll be there.
But Chris, if he ends up, because he's trying to get the surgery as soon as possible, if he gets the surgery this week, he might not be around. Like, he was around during the Providence game just because he hadn't had the surgery yet. But I know if he's trying to get back to being healthy before June, which that's, I guess, what he's trying to do. So, you know, for the combines and all that stuff for the draft, he's going to have to get that surgery this week. So he might not be on that bench. So somebody's going to have to step up if that's the case.
Yeah, and I don't know who that person could be. Maybe Robinson Earl. Hopefully, you'd like to see him. Maybe Samuels. You know, these guys have been in the program. They're all winners, and they're tough guys, and you like that. Mm-hmm. So, look, ultimately, you have one of the best coaches in the country. So, I trust him enough to get this pointed in the right direction. And he's got the track record and the chops to pull this off. So that's what you kind of have to look at right now.
And that's a great point, because if you do need some kind of leadership, obviously the leader of leaders is definitely Jay Wright. And if there's a way to figure out a way to make it work, he's probably one of the best coaches to have to do that. So that's definitely a good point. That's a great point, that you're really going to rely on that coaching staff, because really Colin was almost a coach out on the court there, you know, 4 years
in
the program.
Has there been any talk about him coming back next year?
Well, I was actually going to be my last question, so that's good to kind of talk about that, because it's kind of I think it's going to come down to, because what's going to happen is he's going to definitely go into the draft. I think that's going to be a definite. And then I think it's going to be one of those cases where he waits and sees if he's healthy and he can go to a combine. I think, based upon the track record of past point guards from Villanova, he's going to get some kind of consideration probably in the second round from somebody who, you know, like Brunson, like Ryan Arch, you know, they have a good track record from Villanova. So he's going to get some consideration, I believe. And if that's the case, then no, he's not coming back. But if he doesn't 100% get healthy to where he's able to showcase his talent in a combine or something along those lines, yeah, is it possible he comes back? I guess. I mean, if he comes back, I'll tell you this. If he does come back, you're going to have a couple of players below him that possibly would want, like, to maybe transfer or, you know, want to play somewhere else. Because the natural progression is that he's going to be gone, and these new guys like Antoine, like Patterson, these guys that are coming in, are going to now be the next team to come up. So, you know, it's that natural progression where, you know, these seniors do have to move kind of on. You know, do you agree or what do you think? What's your gut telling you?
I think he goes. I'd be very surprised if he comes back. We had this when we texted with Coach Jim the other day, because he even brought that up, that there just might not be enough room. And remember, we have three recruits coming in next year.
Right.
One of which is a point guard.
Yep.
And he's I think he was like a 4-star from Virginia.
Yes.
So, I don't see him coming back, and I love the kid. I mean, I wish he would, and we love watching him, and he's everything you want. But I'd be surprised if he comes back.
Now, with that also being said, I have a good feeling that I believe Cosby Roundtree will be back. He might be somebody who's back.
And that would be his fifth year, correct?
Correct. I think him not playing at all this year is, if he can play, I think he would be back. Because you don't know if Robinson Earl is going to be back.
I don't think he will, because I saw a mock about a week ago that had him going in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, so that's if he's a first round, yeah, if he's a first round pick, he's not coming back.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Then you're going to be a little light in the front. You're going to be a little light in the front court. You're going to need a bigger player. So I'm sure he would love to have him back.
Yep. And that's, I think that's where that's going. I think he will be back to shore up, you know, that front court. And I hate to say it, but I you know, Robinson Earl, I think he's going to be gone after this season. As much as I like him and his game, I don't know what more he can do here. You know, I mean, he had a great season. I mean, like I said, what I said in the beginning, he's one of the top 15 players that's up for the Wooden Award. I mean, so, you know, and he's only a sophomore. So I don't foresee him coming back. So things are going to change next year. But this year, I think some players have an opportunity to step up and to really make a name for themselves, not only in the Big East tournament, but in March Madness. And I'm hoping that these guys step up and play the way that they can play. I mean, we both know that Brian Antoine can play. So we need to see it. I mean, the Jersey boy can definitely play. So he just needs to do it, right?
Yeah, it's time. It's yep. time. You got if hopefully this first game against Georgetown or Marquette, we'll get to see it. And you like to see him score the basketball a little bit. So hopefully it's something to look forward to.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
The iHeartRadio app provides your music, your stations, and is rated number one for podcasts. Stream unlimited music, thousands of live radio stations, podcasts, and playlists for any mood or activity all in one app. The iHeartRadio app is easy to use, and best of all, it's free. Download the iHeartRadio app and start listening to your favorite live radio stations, podcasts, and music playlists today.
What's up, Nova Nation? If you have any questions that you would like to have answered or discussed on the show, email us at thenovanationpodcast@gmail.com.